During the 20 years that Vladimir Putin has presided over Russia, it is fair to say that the acquisition of a Nobel Prize for Peace has seemed low on his list of priorities. On Putin's watch, Russia has attacked Chechnya, invaded Georgia and Ukraine, and intervened in Syria, to say nothing of lower-level, semi-deniable operations elsewhere. On form, Libya would have had reason to regard Russia's offer to serve as a mediator in its ongoing civil war with an amount of suspicion. Libya might also have recognised, however, that the Western world has long preferred to regard the Libyan conflict from the other end of a barge pole, and that as such, they were somewhat stuck for options. Accordingly, earlier this week, the two sides in Libya's war, the Government of National Accord led by Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj and recognised by the United Nations, and the so-called Libyan National Army, commanded by renegade General Khalifa Haftar, met in Moscow. At which, a footnote, it's not entirely clear whether or not al-Sarraj and Haftar actually shook hands at this encounter. These discussions were what is known as proximity talks, a common enough diplomatic set piece in which the parties to a dispute agree to gather more or less in the same place at the same time and relay messages to each other via intermediaries. In this instance, those intermediaries were Russia, which has broadly encouraged Haftar's desire to overrun Libya, and Turkey, which earlier this month extended its support for the Government of National Accord as far as sending troops to Libya.
If the putschist Haftar's attacks against our brothers and the legitimate government of Libya continue, we will never refrain from teaching him the lesson he deserves.
Turkey's involvement, of course, adds another layer of oddness to proceedings, given the involvement of both Russia and Turkey in Syria. At various points during Syria's ongoing civil war, Moscow and Ankara have appeared to be allies, enemies, and sometimes either or both at once, depending on which part of the map you're looking at and what day of the week it is. But credit where due, as a precursor to the latest Moscow talks, Turkey and Russia did manage to wrangle a ceasefire in Libya, though both the Government of National Accord and the Libyan National Army accused each other of breaching it.
Marshal Haftar, командующий Ливийской национальной армией.
The talks in Moscow, as we go to air, appear to have been a partial success, which is to say that while an agreement was reached and Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj signed it, Khalifa Haftar did not. So, what does Russia really want in Libya? Well, just for fun, let's consider the official position. Russia's Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, has made several heartwarming statements of the "we'd like to teach the world to sing" variety. Earlier this week, Lavrov spoke of a desire to motivate all Libyan sides to agree rather than continue sorting things out by force. Russia, as Russia portrays it, is all but lying awake nights fretting over Libya's anguish. Perhaps Haftar's flounce really is a serious snub to Russia's pure-hearted desire to see a Libya at peace. A sceptical observer, and where Russia is concerned, it's usually the smart kind of observer to be, might gently suggest that there is perhaps something else going on here. Haftar's refusal to sign the agreement, for example, might be a pre-planned theatrical device designed to demonstrate that he is no mere Russian stooge, and that therefore Russia is not responsible should he return to his quest to seize the parts of Libya he hasn't already, with the help Russia breezily denies ever having sent him. Last week, Putin vouchsafed that any Russians fighting alongside Haftar, should there be any, who knows, etc., are not representing Russia nor paid by Russia. A stag party, possibly. And or it may be that Vladimir Putin doesn't really care about Libya all that much, not any more than he really cares about Ukraine or Syria, which is to say he may care about Libya as he cares about Ukraine and Syria, principally as a device with which he can surprise and annoy and disorient the Western world, and by so doing impose the view that Russia remains a power which must be reckoned with, and or just make life stressful and tedious for everyone else. Quite a lot of Russian diplomatic enterprise starts to make much more sense the moment you start thinking of it basically as geostrategic trolling. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.